So if you guys have any questions whatsoever about keto or intermittent fasting, whether you're starting keto as a new person or just need to debug your program, or you have a question about a product, call one of our keto consultants. They'll be able to help you. Call 540-299-1557. That's 540-299-1557.
Welcome to the Dr. Berg Healthy Keto and Intermittent Fasting Podcast. Now your host, the man taking your health to a whole new level, Dr. Eric Berg.
This is the Dr. Berg Show. Live from the nation's capital, it's time to get healthy, lose weight, and feel great. Call now to speak with Dr. Berg at 866-561-4292. And now, Dr. Eric Berg.
Hi, guys. Welcome back. We're here today. It's in this nice, warm weather. I think it's like 4 degrees outside in Virginia. It's freezing. So thanks for showing up. Hey, if you have any questions,
this is the Dr. Berg Show.
Call us at 1-866-561-4292. We have Karen over here that's going to be helping us out with all sorts of questions going to coming up from, you're probably already getting questions now.
Yes.
Hey, listen, let's just dive right in. If you have questions about keto, intermittent fasting, or other health-related topics, go ahead and ask away. Just one little quick point. This is not meant to diagnose you or give you medical advice. Anything I say is for entertainment and education, and you can do research on it and check with your doctor. All right. Hey, Mabel, you've been waiting for 30 minutes, so... You're from Miami. Must be nice.
Yes, it is. It's, you know, we think it's freezing. It's 55, but,
oh,
you know.
Did you have to actually put a towel on when you got out of the pool because it was so cold?
Yeah. I put boots on today. No flip-flops.
Oh, that's rough.
But Dr. Berg, there's not enough time, obviously, in your show for the immense gratitude that I have, and I'm sure your fans share for this incredible show and all the great work that you and Karen and your team do. So thank you for that very much.
Thank you.
And just so really quick, I'm 36. I'm a mom. I've been starting about Thanksgiving. I was 172, 170. I started tinkering, you know, with intermittent fasting and my keto diet. Mm-hmm. Today, I'm 156 pounds since Thanksgiving.
Awesome.
So I'm so happy. I do have a little bit of a history of hypertension. I did have preeclampsia and gave birth to a beautiful micro preemie who's super healthy now. No allergies, no medications except for 5 milligrams of Norvasac. So, like I said, I've been tinkering with it. Right now, I'm on 23.1. I feel incredible. I have so much energy. I feel like I could, you know, get home and keep going with the baby and do everything. I feel really great.
Awesome.
So this is my annual today. About, no lie, 30 minutes ago, I left my annual with my cardiologist, and, you know, I thought he would be so happy and impressed, and he was completely against everything that I'm doing, that I was starving myself, that this wasn't going to work long term, to stop the sodium, to increase, you know, continue a low-carb diet, but, you know, to measure my sodium. And then he upped my medication. So it's like, this is not a long-term solution to my problem.
Right.
Like this, I can't just walk away here with a prescription.
Right. Well, let me respond to that. Couple things. Doctors, they treat symptoms. They treat disease. That's what they do. I don't treat disease. What I do is I help people, or I show them how to create more health. Honestly, I personally would find another doctor that actually would work with you, that's not so antagonistic, to something that is helping you. Unfortunately, a lot of doctors are fed data from the American Heart Association, which recommends usually the DASH diet, which is very carb heavy, low fat. It's just the same old information recycled. So they just don't have the data. So you're trying to get information about health, but they're specialized in medications. So what's really missing in healthcare is the health part. They're just not trained on how to get healthy. In fact, go to your doctor and ask them, Doc, I'm here. I just want to know, how can I improve my health? And see what they say. That'll be an interesting conversation. But as far as blood pressure, Sounds like you're doing great. I think you just need to give it more time, because what's going to happen as you reduce insulin by lowering the carbs and doing intermittent fasting, a lot of things are going to happen to the arteries. They're going to become softer. They're not going to be as rigid, because insulin and high sugar makes them rigid and stiff. And a couple things you could do nutrition-wise is vitamin K2 and D3 is going to be very beneficial to help if there's any calcium in the arteries. But the main thing is going to be supporting insulin resistance, improving blood sugars, and give it more time, because it takes a while for that to really self-correct. And so you're giving the body a chance to really heal. So increase the vegetables. You can actually add a lot more potassium to the diet, because if you calculate what you need is like 4,700, you might want to go up to 5,000, maybe 6,000, because, and mostly from food, because that potassium is really great for blood pressure. Okay, so those are the two things that I would recommend. Thanks for calling, Mabel. We're going to go to Derek from New York, where it's nice and warm up there. Hi, Derek. How are you doing?
Good morning, Dr. Burke. How are you?
Good morning.
And Dr. Burke, thank you for all the insight that you give hundreds of thousands of people. We're all very grateful. I know there's a lot of people eating, so I'm just going to dive right into it. Dr. Berg, you've been helping me actually with a lot of things that I've been going through. I have sludge in the gallbladder. I mentioned this last time. A HIDA scan that was 49% ejection fraction. That was just 2.5 weeks ago. You told me to go on IF, but I do have Gilbert syndrome, and my bilirubin is now much higher than it was. I'm taking Ursodiol, 300 milligrams twice a day. I have acute gastritis and basically minimal erosiveness and minimal erosiveness of the duodenum, as well as my esophagus. I have some GERD, so based on your videos, I'm pretty sure that I lack stomach acid and bile. So I stopped doing the apple cider vinegar and lemon, because I don't know how that's going to be on my stomach with the inflammation. Mm-hmm. Also have trapped gas and low iron. Iron is like 46, low B12, low vitamin D, and I'm assuming low vitamin A and low vitamin K.
Okay.
And I also don't know what to eat throughout the day. I've been eating just a lot of salad, but I steam it due to the inflammation of the stomach, because I don't want it to be raw. And I'm just eating some olive oil on it and some meat, whether it's organic chicken meat, organic salmon. But I'm not trying to do the salmon all the time, but that's really my go-to food. I don't know what else to do.
Okay, so let me just kind of give you some tips on this, Derek. For something like that, you have a corrosion of your stomach. You have a lot of irritation, so you can't really put the acid down there to help you absorb the iron and the B12. And you need the acid to release the bile salts, which I think you said you're taking bile salts, so all that's going to help you. So you're kind of in this transition of getting your body healed. Intermittent fasting is going to eventually help you, but you have a condition where it's going to be a long-term process to let your body go through the process of healing. But as far as what to eat, you're going to have to kind of cope right now, because you're stuck between a rock and a hard place. You can't dump the acid in there now. So you're going to have to steam your vegetables, have a little fat, and then just give it more time. The other thing that I would recommend is cabbage, different types of cabbage, things like fermented cabbage, try that, steamed cabbage, maybe even a little bit of raw cabbage. Cabbage has a unique factor, something natural in there that's really good for ulcers and gastritis and inflammation of the stomach. It sounds to me that you had a pretty bad blood sugar issue at one time, and that can also create a problem with the nervous system in the stomach. It's called the autonomic nervous system. I think it's called autonomic neuropathy, basically, where you're getting this nerve damage to the organs, too. So you might have some of that. So the solution is keep doing the intermittent fasting, and because you're going to let your body go through a process of autophagy, and that's going to actually start healing your inside of your skin. Wheatgrass juice is essential because that's really good to actually support the lining on the internal part of your body. So you think you're doing everything right. You just got to give it more time and until eventually you can add the acid back in. Okay? All right. Do we have a question, Karen?
Yes, we do.
Good.
Okay, so there's a question here from someone that is wondering what a nicotine supplement will do to intermittent fasting.
Okay, so you're talking about the patch?
It's just a supplement, but I assume. I mean, there's gum, there's a patch. It doesn't say.
Good question. So nicotine, you know, what it does is it stimulates something called the sympathetic nervous system. And if it's too much, it can actually raise epinephrine, adrenaline, and that can release some sugar in the system and then increase the insulin, okay? So that's kind of what you're looking at. So what you could do is just try to do the minimal amount possible, but I like the fact that you're doing nicotine instead of the actual smoking because you can avoid all the chemicals. So it can, depending on how much you're exposed to. Yeah.
Good.
Okay.
I have another one.
Okay.
Okay, so I have Elena from Facebook, and she's saying that she knows she has an awful lot of stress in her life, that her adrenals are probably trashed. She's been on the program since September. She's lost a few pounds, but she wants to know how long can it take for her adrenals to heal and to see more weight loss?
It really depends on how chronic it is or how bad it is, and it's hard to tell. I think one of the best indicators for adrenal is the climbing up stairs or going up an incline. Because if you climb up an incline and you feel like completely out of breath real fast, then we know the adrenals are kind of weak. So there's several things that you're going to have to do on a regular basis over maybe several months to start healing the adrenal. The biggest thing is to do everything possible, nutrient-wise, food-wise, acupressure, you can find it on my website, to help your sleep. Because the sleep is really, really key into helping the adrenals. There's some great things that you can take nutritionally. One is called adrenal cortisol relief. I think that gives you the nutrients for the adrenals, and then the acupressure. Those two, I think, will be helpful. But you're going to have to, you know, give it some months to actually reverse that. Okay. Hey, real quick, I wanted to tell you guys we have a really cool new community group on Facebook. It's called Ketogenic and Intermittent Fasting, a lab where we actually do testing on people. No, I'm just kidding. It's just we do different experiments and share our results with each other. So you can go to Facebook and there's a link, I think, on the top of the page, somewhere on the page, and you can sign up. And it's a closed group. We'll invite you in. But there's a couple guidelines. And mainly this group is to help us share with each other successful actions so we can learn things from each other. And help each other. It's not meant for promotional actions or affiliate links, so if you have that, you can't do that. That's against the rules. Or if you're promoting a product or go to this page or some other diet. Gotta be nice, no bad language, okay?
No trolls.
No trolls.
No trolls are welcome.
We delete you. And we just wanna know what's working, what's not working, and we can share experiences. I'll be posting some really cool little test that we can do, just like if you have a blood sugar testing thing or a keto testing, maybe you can help us to see how your blood sugars or ketones are affected after you eat, like, I don't know, a pound of ice cream or whatever, or avocados. We'll present some really cool tests and then we can see the results. And I'll be doing a periodic live events as well. And I want to mention, if you wanted to sign up for that, you can go to the Facebook. Okay, let's go take a question from Raj. I think it's Raja from North Carolina.
Yes.
Hi.
Yes, sir. Well, hello, Dr. Berg.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm a really fan of your content. You really provide a great insight that is very useful and effective. I'm a vegetarian. I'm 160 pounds. I'm a 56-year-old. I'm an adrenal body type. So I've taken your nighttime formula, and that has helped quite a bit. I also have hyperlipidemia, diabetes, hypertension. I'm using diet and intermittent fasting this year, and that has helped quite a bit and I'm not taking diabetic meds anymore, so it's under control. My A1C is 5.4, and so I'm really happy about that. But I like to find out cause of hypertension, so I'm kind of going about looking at I'm not taking any salt. I'm taking salt substitutes. I'm taking potassium. Like you said, I'm balancing between potassium and sodium ratio always, but I'm more leaning towards potassium. So, but my hypertension cause is not. So I went into nutrition deficiency and all that, and I found that I'm B12 and all. So when I take Nutrition East that you strongly recommend, in the past years when I've taken it, my eyes sink in, like they shrink totally. And then the outside of the eyes appear a little black. I don't know if I should be concerned about that. They're not painful or anything, but they're noticeably make me look like an NI person. But that doesn't happen if I take the B12 tablets. But I don't know how well I'm absorbing B12.
Okay.
Right now.
Let's talk about that.
And my other question was about. Okay.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because I have a lot of questions. So probably one question per person, that would be wonderful. If you get an actual nutritional yeast powder, unfortunately, it doesn't come with B12 unless it's added in. Sometimes I add in synthetically. That's one of the reasons why I created the nutritional yeast tablets, because I added some natural B12 in there, so that way you have the whole thing. So when you take nutritional yeast with all those B vitamins without the B12, potentially it can create more of an exaggerated effect of B12 deficiency, which could affect those eyes. So what I would do is I would either get the powder, add some natural B12, and that should handle it, or you can get the tablets that I have. It's up to you. But with you, I think you need to add a little bit more apple cider vinegar with water and lemon to drink that, because that'll start to help the absorption of B12 through the stomach, because you need acid. So especially if you're a vegetarian, the challenge with being a vegetarian is getting the B12. Believe it or not, the wheatgrass juice powder I have has it in it. We tested it, which is surprising, because normally wheatgrass juice doesn't have it, but it's added with the microbes that it comes with. It's actually double the RDAs. But that's really what you're running into. The key vitamins that you need to focus on being a vegetarian are the iron, the B12, and the vitamin A, because it's hard to get that in being a vegan. But good question. Hey, Gerald, you're from Chicago. You had a question about pH testing.
Yes, sir. And related quick questions about evaluation. First of all, I want to thank you for the great explanations you provide. I'm sure everyone appreciates what you do.
Thanks.
My question is it a good idea to use Hydrian pH test strips to know your pH level?
Good. Awesome. Great question, because pH is a huge, confusing topic. You're going to measure your saliva and you're going to check your urine. That's pretty much all you can test. Your body has all these different pHs. What it centers around is your blood pH. When you can't test it with a pH paper, you'd have to go get it injected, pulled out, and then, not injected, but pulled it out, and then quickly test it, but it oxidizes so fast, so it's really hard to test your blood pH, but you can go by symptoms. However, there is some benefit to checking the urine pH. And there's a couple things you have to realize, though. The urine pH does not really tell you what's going on with the rest of the body. For example, if you're losing stomach acid, your pH of your urine might initially be very high in acids, so it could be more acid. So you really have to kind of look at the whole body. But what I like to use the pH strips for is checking the urine, especially when you're doing keto, to evaluate maybe if you're too alkaline, for example, you need to acidify the body. And that could be from an adrenal issue or even diabetes. However, if your pH is the opposite, is to acid, because you're doing keto, and you're dumping a lot of ketones through the urine, and you have gout, for example, gout symptoms, which is high uric acid, then you better start taking some calcium or some maybe potassium citrate to kind of chill that out. And so I would use it mainly to kind of get an idea of what's going on with your maybe kidney stones or gout, because both of those conditions are usually, especially when you're doing keto, too much uric acid. So that pH should be more acidic. So that's, I think that would be the most useful thing that would use pH strips. But good question, Gerald. Thanks for asking that. Now let's go to Karen.
Hey, good. Okay. So over to YouTube here, I have Mark, who is asking, he says, how do you get 4,700 milligrams of potassium when potassium tablets are only 100 milligrams?
Okay, Mark, another good question. So that's how they sell it, but it doesn't mean you're going to get this from a supplement. You want to try to get it from your foods. That's the whole goal. In my book, which most of you have, I have a chart on potassium on page 122, okay? And I list all the foods that have high potassium and low potassium. And I wanted to explain something, because you have, for example, banana has 400, maybe 300 to 400 milligrams of potassium, but you need a lot of those potassium. So a lot of bananas to get your daily requirements. But if we come down here to, let's say, Brussels sprouts, that's almost 500. Avocados are almost 900 milligrams. So this basically tells us that we naturally, our diet needs to be high in vegetable, but also protein for other nutrients. But if you try to get your potassium from supplements, you're only looking at one nutrient out of a whole bunch of them, and you're going to throw something else out. You want to use extra calcium from supplements as an enhancement, but not as a way to get to your ideal scene with potassium. And this is one of the problems, that people don't like eating vegetables, so they go, I'm just going to get it from a pill. Now, I do have electrolyte powder for some enhancement, but it has all the electrolytes and trace minerals with no sugar, so that couldn't be a little bit better than just taking a pill. The problem with buying potassium citrate from a powder is it's very hard to get down unless you put some other things in it. So it's like you'd probably start gagging. So I would start consuming more salads to get your potassium and not trying to take the pill, the 99 milligram pill. Hey, let's go to Lisa from Pennsylvania. You had a question about magnesium. Go ahead.
I'm not sure if he didn't hear me right, but my question was about nickel and aluminum toxicity on a hair analysis report. Mm.
Okay. So like how
I had a couple.
Mm-hmm, go ahead.
I had a couple other questions. I mentioned numbness in the extremities with magnesium citrate to help increase, or not magnesium, I'm sorry, that's probably where the confusion came in, potassium citrate. I'm trying to supplement with potassium citrate to increase my potassium, and when I do, I get numbness in the extremities.
Okay.
When I add some B12 in there, it seems to help, but I wasn't sure if that was the root of the problem with that supplement.
Okay, so let's just answer that, Lisa. I think if you have like heavy metals in your hair, you got to find out what is causing that. What are you eating that's causing that? There are natural things you can get at the health food store that are called chelators. And chelator means like to hook something. You can take them, like one is chlorella, for example, and you take it and it starts pulling out some of the heavy metals. You want to get the copper out, and nickel, and whatever you have in your body. So you want to pull it out that way and try to find out what you're doing that could be exposing your body to that. And then you also had a question that I completely and utterly forgot, so I'm going to ask you again. You were asking, go ahead.
just to help you out with the nickel toxicity, I believe it's coming from dental.
Dental. Okay. But wasn't there another question right after that?
Yes. Numbness in extremities with potassium citrate supplement.
Yeah, you said potassium, not calcium, right?
Correct.
Okay. All right. So here's the thing. There's some interesting things about numbness in your extremities. You can have numbness if your pH is too far one way or the other. You can have numbness if you have too much calcium in your body. So if you take too much minerals as an individual mineral and you get numbness, it could probably be throwing something else out. But typically, numbness is a blood sugar thing when you have insulin resistance, pre-diabetes, and all of a sudden a diabetic gets peripheral neuropathy. So what I would do is if you're taking something and all of a sudden you get some symptom, I would back up and go, okay, how can I take this more in a complex or how nature has provided it versus one specific nutrient? Because even when you get a nutrition, anytime you take one of something out of the natural complex that normally doesn't come in nature, you might throw something out. And I don't even know why you're getting that, but I would just start getting more food-based type minerals or elements or vitamins. Okay, but take a chelator. I think that'll be important. And as far as the dental stuff, you're probably going to have to take chlorella for a period of time. Thanks, Lisa. All right, Karen, you got another question?
Okay, yeah, we got to represent here on social media. I have two good questions from YouTube. I have Ali, who's asking, what causes a lot of burping?
Okay. So burping is usually gallbladder, and the gallbladder is backing up with some gas. So anytime you burp, belch, or bloat, that's a gallbladder symptom. So you want to find out what you're eating. You want to do maybe some acupressure on the gallbladder, possibly some nutrition. I have a lot of videos on the gallbladder. You could probably watch that. Okay,
good. Another one is from, and I'm sorry if I mispronounce this, Carice on YouTube, and she says she's having a difficult time digesting fats and carbs, which I'm not sure what kind of carbs, since we're trying to avoid carbs, but she's asking that liquids do a lot better. Could she do just liquids in the fasting, doing intermittent fasting?
Yeah. Well, if you're having problems, it's probably some sluggishness with the gallbladder. And yes, you can do liquid stuff, but you don't want to do carbs with fats. You don't want to do carbs with protein, unless it's a vegetable carbohydrate. But yeah, if you're having digestive issues, just at the end of the day, you just have to make sure that you get all your nutrients. So you can liquefy your salad. You can liquefy your fats. You can liquefy your hamburger, for example. Just put it into a shake and drink it down. Hey, I want to go to a call because someone's been on the line for 47 minutes. Alto, you're on the line from Salt Lake City. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you? Greetings from Utah.
Great.
I don't eat vegetables, so I cannot go on a keto diet as others normally would. But I have started doing intermittent fasting with eating only twice a day. My calorie count has decreased drastically. So what I want to know is it a good idea to do intermittent fasting 7 days a week? And what should I do in order to have this lifestyle to be sustainable, and what to do to avoid slowing my metabolism when my body adapts to my meals?
Okay, good. So there's a couple things. Yes, you can do intermittent fasting every single day. I think I would recommend it. But if you don't do vegetables, there is one food that you could eat, one category of food that actually has almost the equivalent of nutrients to vegetables. And if anyone could actually take a wild guess right now and type it in, I would like to see your opinion of what do you think has more nutrients than vegetables. Go ahead, type it in.
Oh, I know.
And I know you know. But what about, can you tell me if there's anyone that's typing anything in that's even close to being correct? No, I'm just kidding.
Let me see. I have to get to the bottom here on Facebook to get all the way. Wow.
Hey, and while you guys are typing that in, I want to just show you, and I'm sorry, Alta, I just wanted to bring this up before I told you what to do. We have a very cool little cheat sheet here. This is the cheat sheet on how to trigger your fat-burning hormones. It's pretty cool. If you want one of these, you could simply go to, there's a link down below, and you can just type in, if you're on Facebook Messenger, type in comment cheat, okay? If you're on YouTube, there's a link down below. You'll go to Messenger and type in the comment or comment cheat, all right? And you can download this great thing. I just like summaries. This is a quick little sheet and you can get it. And I think that'll help you focus in on all the foods that will help you. I have the do's and the don'ts right here. Okay, if you want that, check it out.
Okay, yeah, hello.
Okay, what are people saying?
So a lot of people are saying things like wheatgrass juice powder, eggs, red meat, but it seems like, sorry Facebook, the YouTube guys, getting a lot more of the correct answer.
Don't you like that when you ask a question and the teacher asks you, no, you're wrong, 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 wrong.
Sorry.
Or you're half right, you're sort of right. Let me just tell you what it is. It's basically organ meats.
Yeah.
Okay, there we have it.
That was now, a little anticlimactic. Are you going to say more about that?
Yeah, I'm going to. Yeah, you want to get grass-fed. There's a website that has grass-fed, I can't remember the name of it, but the point is you can find online, you can get this, but you can grass-fed liverwurst, you can grass-fed, and they're organ meats. Personally, I have a hard time consuming them, but if you wanted to, if you don't like vegetables, then you're stuck with organ meats. Make sure it's grass-fed, make sure it's organic. But that, believe it or not, has all the fat-soluble vitamins, tons of minerals, tons of potassium, vitamin C. So basically, that's your other option. If you don't like vegetables, you're going to have organ meats.
And you can put it in your blender.
Yes, and you can take it with a straw.
The Organomatic.
Thanks, Alta. Hey, Don, you're from Miami. You had a question.
Well, Happy New Year to you and your wife, Dr. Berg.
Thank you.
Hey, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. On December 11th, this year, I had quadruple bypass surgery. I'm a retired firefighter paramedic in Miami. Been retired 15 months.
Love firefighters. Thank you.
Yep, there are definitely a wonderful bunch of guys and girls doing first responder work with wonderful sensitivity. I'm presently taking your apple cider vinegar, your kale, parsley, and beet top shake with wheatgrass. Mm-hmm. I've lost 32 pounds since my October 4th journey into quadruple bypass surgery. And you can imagine how I feel about, I was a marathoner, triathloner, ate chicken, fish, and turkey all the time. So you can imagine how I feel about putting fat into my body right now after having this kind of background. So my question for you today is, my wife is on a ketogenic diet, and I've been on a plant-based diet since really the operation. But how does a ketogenic, and also I'm type 2 diabetic. That is why I'm trying to get off of metformin. So that's why I've lost 32 pounds. And I'm going down further. How will a ketogenic diet reduce my cholesterol and blood sugar levels as opposed to the plant-based diet?
Yeah. Okay, so very good question, Don. I'm going to try to give you the short version of that. There's a lot of videos I have on this one topic. The truth is that the cholesterol that is in your arteries, only 10% comes from the diet. 90% of it is coming from your own body. Your body is making cholesterol. So it's really not the villain. It's at the crime scene, which is in the arteries, but it's trying to heal something else going on. Now, if you have insulin resistance, you have pre-diabetic, you have higher levels of insulin. And that's one thing you should probably check. Go get a fasting insulin test. It's going to be a little higher. And that's really what's corroding and attacking the lining, the epithelial lining of your arteries, and creating a cascade of effects of the cholesterol coming in, the protein coming in, the calcium coming in, and then forming a plaque or a clot. That's really what's going on. So it's not the fat that is going to heal you. It's really the low carbs. I love the fact that you're doing a plant-based diet. I think you should consume actual plants, vegetation, like a whole bunch of it. And that's what I recommend. But I think I wouldn't be afraid also to add some high-quality protein in there that comes naturally with fat. That's not going to be a problem for your arteries at all. In fact, They found that when you go low-fat protein, it spikes insulin. So we're trying to get insulin down. So I wouldn't be afraid of doing that, especially if it's like, let's say, 5 ounces per meal, and you do intermittent fasting. You're going to find very quickly that your insulin is going to come down, your heart's going to heal, your blood sugar is going to heal a lot better. So really, it's kind of like shifting your attention. And what really messes people up is the refined carbs and the sugars and that type of thing. So again, if you absolutely don't want to do animal products, well, then you're going to have to really find some other proteins and fats that can give you the nutrients that you need. It's very hard to do intermittent fasting on a low-fat diet because it's like you're going to be really hungry and it's really hard. So, and there's also nutrients that you need like vitamin A, vitamin D, vitamin E that naturally come from fats. So, but study some more videos on that. I have a lot of data online about that. But thanks, Don, for being a firefighter and answering the question. Okay? Karen, we're going to go to you for a question.
Okay, good. And thanks again for the firefighters. Dr. Berg knows. I love him.
She likes
him. But if
him.
I see a firefighter in full uniform,
they're
oh my
hero.
Gosh.
Your hero.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, focus. Okay.
Coming back to the question.
Right. So, two-part question here from Rosa on Facebook, and she's saying she took the quiz, the body type quiz, mm-hmm. and she's 62% adrenal, and she's 16% thyroid. She wants to know how to approach that with regard to supplements or the diet, and also she's wondering, could she continue her multivitamin that she's been taking?
Okay, so it really depends on multivitamin, if it's a synthetic vitamin, or let's say food-based. You want to go with food-based. Now, the complexities of the body types in my first book called The 7 Principles of Fat Burning, which this is an upgrade, really had people in the confusion because they're like, wow, I have a little combination of this, combination of that. In this book, which you may want to consider getting, everyone goes on a basic eating plan, okay? And that's in chapter, I think, 11. So you basically get on this plan for a couple weeks. Then what you do there's a little quiz in there that tells you, let's say you're more adrenal or more thyroid or you're tied, it tells you what to do to enhance your basic eating plan with adjusting the fats and the proteins and the carbs. But here's the thing. If you're a complete split tie and you don't know what to do, just pick the adrenals first and go with that. And then what you can do is see how you feel by adjusting your eating plan. If you're not really winning, go to the thyroid and try those recommendations. But the way that you got to look at this is that all these glands are connected. The entire endocrine system, you could almost look like it as a one organism that's connected on a chain. And when one goes down, they all tend to go down. So just by supporting one part of the endocrine system, you're going to support the whole thing. But if you have a little more thyroid, you need a little bit more of this. If you're more adrenal, you need a little bit more of that. But I think if you give me a choice between adrenal and thyroid, I'd go with the adrenal. Okay, Anita, you're from Syracuse. You had a question. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. Happy New Year. My question is, I keep hearing about lazy keto, carb cycling and carb up days, and it's kind of confusing me.
Yeah,
I've been doing the ketogenic diet for 5 months. I've lost 45 pounds.
Wow.
I want to keep going, but I feel like I'm losing gas. I feel like I'm losing, not interest, but I feel like, can I keep doing this? I mean, I have 50 more pounds to go. I feel very happy where I'm at right now. I have more energy. I work out 3 days a week. I'm doing some of the suggestions that you said about exercises. But I just want to know, is this something that I should explore, or what's your thought?
Okay, good question. The whole carb cycling, honestly, I think it'll slow you down because as minute that you start adding the carbs, the insulin goes up. So now it bumps you out of ketosis. You've done something that's very successful. The last thing I'm going to do is change it. Now, the thing is, like, you feel like, wow, it's like, how long could I do this? It's kind of could be boring or a routine and very structured. Well, if you have more weight to lose, keep doing the things that got you there. Don't change anything. You're going to violate the rule that if something's working, you stick with it. So that's my recommendation on that.
Maybe add some more interesting recipes or
yeah, you can make it more interesting. We have a ton of recipes on the site. But let's say you hit your goal and you really are happy with your weight and you've strengthened and you've eliminated the insulin resistance and now you've got a greater level of health. You have more flexibility of going off and doing different things because you know that you can go right back on because your insulin is a lot better. So when you build up your health to a state of a higher level, you have the capacity and the luxury of not being perfect. And but right now, I think I would stick with it. The other thing about on the internet, there's suggestions, I know this might be hard to believe, about every possible viewpoint, and you don't even know if you're getting the right thing. Anyone can say anything about practically anything. And that's the problem with the internet. Like right now, there's if you type on in the internet, what's the number one ranked diet, it'll say the DASH diet by the U.S. News and World Report, which is the media group, which I don't even know how they're rating this, the DASH diet. Because if you take a look at the DASH diet, I mean, it's like between 6 and 8 servings of grains. Okay, now how is that going to actually help you by adding more grains in there? Low-fat proteins, it's just the same old, recycled. They're allowing hidden sugars in there. They're allowing a small amount of candy, but low fat. It's just the same thing recycled. Unfortunately, you know, you read that and you go, wow, is that true? Well, if you know the basics, you're not going to fall for it, but I'd like to know how they are evaluating that diet. Is it based on results or how many advertising they have? I mean, it's really it's not an independent study. It's been very political. So, Karen, do you have another question?
Oh, someone here is asking if we would do a food vlog. I like that. Vlog. Well, not just the recipes, because we do the recipes. But they're saying, hey, what about just doing, you know, talking about food? I don't know. Is it boring if we just sit here and talk about food? But maybe not. Maybe we'll look at that. But yes. Thank you for that suggestion. And also, they're recommending, Dr. Berg, that you buy a fireman outfit. And I think that that also is a very good suggestion. But do you want to tell people about the cheat, or should I?
Why don't you tell them about the cheat?
Okay.
Cheat.
Here. So, gee, you just broke the illusion that we're in like two different countries or something. Anyway, you can get this. If you're on YouTube, there's a link. You don't have to type in cheat. There's actually a link on YouTube if you look below. For the Facebook Messenger folks, type in the word cheat, C-H-E-A-T, and you will automatically get that, okay? So if you missed that early on, that's what you do. It's a neat little cheat sheet, okay? And,
all right.
Okay, good, and that was my commercial. Back
okay, great. Let's go to Leah. She's from Chicago. She's been waiting for 24 hours. Minutes, I'm just kidding. Hi, Leah.
Hi, Dr. Berg, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Hi, thank you so much for sharing your information with us. You have helped me get rid of my insulin resistance. I'm off of metformin and a couple of other medications after your suggestion. I took them off. So I had PCOS and a lot of hair fall. So when I did my last ultrasound, I still have cysts in my left ovaries, and there is some regrowth after undoing intermittent fasting. And low to moderate carbs. So I still have cysts in my ovaries, and I do see, like, I need to regrow my hair a lot. You know, I lost like 60-70% of my hair. So I was thinking, which of your supplements can I take? I was looking at estrogen balance, hair formula, wheatgrass, and electrolyte. So do I need trace minerals as well, or these should be good?
Good question, Leah. So let's talk about that. I think that you're doing great. And by the way, if anyone wants to get off their medication or get rid of the diseases, realize that all I'm doing is I'm trying to build up your health so you can avoid those things, but I'm not making any claims to cure your disease. Go to the medical doctor for that. But that being said, I think the best thing for cysts to improve the nutrition of the body and help with that would be to seek help. Icelandic sea kelp, because the iodine in there is great for cysts on the ovary and cysts on the breast. The estrogen balance that I have is really good for estrogen dominance, which also will help that. But if you have a very specific thing like that, I think all you need is some iodine. But then the question would be, why do you have it in the first place? And that's because it's very hard to find iodine in our food nowadays. In fact, we're not getting the trace minerals. We're not getting zinc anymore. And that sets us up for all sorts of problems with detoxification, especially zinc, because that supports the detoxification in the body. And not to mention that we're exposed to 1,000 new chemicals every year. If we don't have these trace minerals, it's hard for our body to eliminate that. So trace mineral would be a good thing, but also the sea kelp, which has a lot of the trace minerals in it. So, hey, thanks for your question. Hey, Lisa, you're on the line. You've had questions about getting dizzy and I think dark circles. Go ahead.
Oh, my goodness. First of all, I wanted to compliment you. Hello.
Hi.
The question is about my husband.
Okay.
However, I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you so much for caring, because I'm a devout religious person in my faith, and I always said to myself, why can't I master this gluttony problem I have? And I thought that that there was something wrong with me. And then when I listened to you, I found out that I was addicted to sugar. And then when I dumped everything out and I looked at every ingredient, when I went shopping, it was in the meats, it was in everything practically.
Wow.
So I just want to say God bless you, and you set me free. I am no longer a slave to food.
Wow, that's awesome.
So. Yeah, and I love you too. I'm so excited to watch you guys. I really know that you are my hero, and I know that sounds really corny, but it is so true. I am free. I am free. I'm not a slave anymore.
You're going to make me cry.
Oh my God, that's all I've been doing all morning. I'm like, I can't believe I'm going to talk to them. I can't believe it. Oh my, I'm shaking. This is just amazing. I watch you all the time, every night, down to like 3 in the morning. I'm trying to get so educated because I mentioned you on my channel as well, and I'm going to send you a plaque to call you my hero. And yes, you should get that fireman outfit, uniform.
See?
Because you are saving lives, okay?
Do I have to wear it at work?
Everywhere you go,
okay.
I am going to see it from now on. All right, but I know you have other callers, but my husband, he is doing this too. And he has, dizziness, a little bit of a headache. I look at him, I'm saying, why do you have all those black circles under your eyes? And he's kind of low on energy, so I love you guys. So I need help. He's listening to you right now in the living room, and he wants to feel strong again.
Okay. All right. Good. Good question. Thanks, Lisa. It sounds to me that your husband's symptoms are classic hypoglycemia, which is insulin resistance. Now, check this out. Here the person consumes all these carbs, right, and the sugar over a period of time. Then your body starts forming a resistance to that and says, oh, it's poison, it's toxic, get it out there. So the cells start to close down so they don't absorb this stuff anymore, right? Now, what happens after that, so you have insulin resistance, is the body says, hey, wait, we need to feed the cell, so it starts increasing insulin. So you have high insulin, right? It's gonna push the blood sugars down, hypoglycemia, low blood sugars at first. That's like a precursor to eventually, then it can't compensate, now we get high sugar, we get become a diabetic. So it sounds like he's more of a hypoglycemic. And the symptoms for that are, you know, heart palpitations, dizziness, irritability, dark circles, all these symptoms that so many people have. So that goes on and on and on. So the symptoms for insulin resistance could be identical to hypoglycemia or hyperglycemia. So it's a little confusing. I'm going to have to create a video on that. So I would get him on the same program you're doing, and that should handle it. But what's interesting is when you consume sugar, your receptors for sugar shut down and you need more and more, so become addicting, so you need more sugar to create the same pleasure, and that throws off your whole chemistry. And then you get insulin resistance, now you got a serious problem, you know, pulling in all these things like serotonin and dopamine, and now you really want sugar to get that pleasure, so now you're addicted. So really addictions are a side effect. Unfortunately, in medicine right now, they're trying to make addictions of everything a disease that must be treated with medication. It's crazy. You're going to see more and more of that, but it's not the truth. The truth is that addictions are a symptom of something else, and that's what you need to fix, not this thing over here. Thanks, Lisa. All right, Karen.
Okay, so I just got word that for the YouTube users, it is true the cheat sheet link is blocked by some third party blah blah. I didn't get the whole thing, but you will receive it later in the day. So
okay cool.
Stay tuned. Okay, and that's what I was working on while you were doing something else.
Well, let's take a call from Cynthia. She's from Los Angeles. She's been waiting 23 minutes and 49 seconds. Go ahead, Cynthia.
Hi, guys. It's me, Cynthia. I love you both, and I'm really excited about your success and what you're doing for people all over the world. I'm so excited about that. And I'm in tears just talking to you because I just love you guys to death. Anyway, I'm calling because, Dr. Berg, I have been doing intermittent fasting for probably 4 or 5 months, and I started losing weight, and then I could not, like, eat. I was not being a good girl, and I would, like, drink a little bit of alcohol and have some wine, and, you know, and then I would have, I wasn't really cheating a lot, but it was enough to throw me off. But I decided to really be ethical about it and start doing this full-time, you know, 100%. Well, what happened is I started breaking out in my face. Now, I have psoriasis, which I've talked to you about before, but this is different. This breakout on my face is, it's red, and it's under my eye, and it's on my cheek, and, you know, I'm a little vain, so it's freaking me out, and I don't know what to do about
it. So, Cynthia, have you really cleaned up the diet and gone back, or are you still a little bit off?
The only thing I'm doing, because I am doing intermittent fasting, I'm only eating twice a day, if anything. Mm-hmm. The only thing I'm eating is this, because I haven't been able to get your ice cream yet, is the certain ice cream in it. The only thing it has in it is agave. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I'm pretty 100%.
Okay, good. So I think it's the agave. Agave is very, very interesting. It's considered a low glycemic, but that's just because 98% of it's fructose, which means it affects the, it goes after the liver, not the blood sugars right away. So it'll go right into the liver and it creates insulin resistance and a whole bunch of other problems. Try an experiment, and I'm almost 100% positive this will work. Cut out that ice cream. Okay, don't eat any ice cream right now. And then within a week, see if your skin doesn't clear up. I think it's the fructose. There's always something in the diet that's doing that. The other thing that's good for the skin is that like plant-based trace minerals, that also helps the skin. Iodine is good for cyst. But the other thing that'll be good is the B vitamins, especially if you're doing keto and all of a sudden you get like rashes and stuff. The B vitamins from nutritional yeast help, but I think I would get off the agave nectar and you'll be totally fine and your skin will come back really nicely. All right, Cynthia, thanks for calling. Okay, Karen.
Okay, so I have Eunice here from Facebook, and she wants to know, how long can you do one meal a day?
You can do it for 23 hours and then go right back to the next meal.
No,
you could do one meal a day. Believe it or not, if you want to check, and you probably won't have this happen, but when you go into one meal a day, you got a serious amount of it's called autophagy, which is the body recycling itself, cleaning itself out, anti-aging, and it's really awesome. I have this book that I just got. I'm like into it hardcore. I have to use the dictionary a lot because there's a lot of big words, but what happens is you start doing that, the need for the absolute high end of like your RDAs go down because you're conserving and you're recycling your nutrients, your protein, your fatty acids. So in other words, you could do it for a long term. Now, if you start finding that your hair is falling out, you're getting tired and you don't feel very good, which by the way is really, really rare, then you might need to enhance that with more nutrients externally. I'm finding that people are doing it, they're loving it, they're not hungry, and it kind of throws off this whole myth that You know, if you don't eat, you're going to starve yourself. You're like, people freak out. That's not really what's happening. You're not starving. What you're eating is your own fat. The meal that you're eating is your fat. And that has a lot of energy. And so you're not starving when you're not eating. The meal is your own body. It just happens to be on your midsection.
Or your hips.
Or your hips. Yeah. So, yeah. Was that a long answer to a short question?
Yeah, but I have another question.
Okay.
Okay, so Adrian on YouTube is asking, so adrenal body types should not fast or can fast?
No, they need to fast.
Okay.
The only thing is a lot of adrenal cases have hypoglycemia. And if you fast too quickly, you're going to crash and burn, because what happens, the blood sugars go down, and then what kicks in there is the adrenal. The adrenal has a natural counter thing where it raises the sugar, and especially adrenaline, and then there goes the cortisol. So that's really what happens. So as long as you do it gradually with maybe supporting B vitamins and minerals, you're going to be totally fine. It'll take the stress off the adrenals, and you actually help heal the adrenals. But I did want to mention, Karen, we have a little Facebook group that we just started.
Yes.
And this is called the Dr. Berg's Keto and Intermittent Lab. So we're doing all sorts of experiments. And so people are like, what? What are you going to do on me? Well, we can't really do anything to you because it's all online. So it's just basically a community that we can share our successful actions. It's pure content. So don't bring your affiliate links. Don't try to promote stuff. It's not meant to, hey, try this other diet, the DASH diet. No, no, we're not going to talk about these things that don't work. We're going to talk about what we found that seems to be successful. So you can actually go to Facebook and sign up for that, and we'll let you in. And just don't use any swear words.
Be okay? Nice.
Yeah.
Be nice.
Be friendly.
That 99.99% are super nice.
Yeah, you do have occasional troll, but we can delete. Oh, yeah, and if you actually, if you see a troll saying something like that, just let us know.
If you
know,
see something, say something.
We'll nix them. Okay, we'll take them in the back. And okay, now I want to go to a question. Magic from Sedona, Arizona. Wow, that must be a nice place to live. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks, Dr. Berg, for all you've done, and Karen, too. You've made a great difference in my life.
Awesome.
And my stepdad's got pancreatic cancer, and he's having trouble keeping anything down. Mm. And I was wondering if there was any diet or supplements or anything you would recommend for that.
Yeah, good question. Sorry to hear that, Magic, but here's some things that you can do. One of the probably right off the bat, the thing that I would do with him, and he's probably already doing this, is intermittent fasting, because he can't keep anything down. I would do a combination of intermittent fasting with something that's easy to digest, that's really, really, really high in nutrients. Like a bone broth type thing, like a soup with garlic and onions in there, that would be great. This is the case where I'd probably do pure vegetable juices. You can juice it and get it down, but not with an apple in there, not with any fruit at all, just pure vegetable juice, okay? That you juiced by hand, all organic, and start doing that a few times a day. The protein that you're going to need is going to be important, because maybe you might have to do just maybe a little bit of high-quality egg or something like that to get his amino acids. Broccoli sprouts are really hot. In fact, all the sprouts. I would be sprouting and trying to do as much sprout as I can, and just really avoid anything GMO, soy, things like that, any sugar, and let him heal. But the intermittent fasting is going to be very, very beneficial. That's what I would recommend. Okay, Magic? Thanks for calling. All right. Karen, we're going to you.
Okay,
give me
good.
A really good question this time.
I was still working a little bit on the cheat form here. I know you guys are trying to get it, and anybody that types it into Facebook, you will eventually get it, and we're going to figure out a link, the link on YouTube. Don't worry. We'll be promoting it all over the place. The other thing I wanted to ask about, Dr. Berg, is this audio book. Thing you have going, the cool USB. Did you want to mention that?
Yeah, this is a new thing. I just put, and I'm going to create a video on this, I just put this entire book in 19 seminars, okay? That was some serious work to actually have to read my book again, which I found was pretty cool. It was like there's a lot of great information in that book. So I did a video in every single chapter, and it just we were able to put it on a link that you can go and watch the videos. But we also put the audio version on a USB, and there's a little adapter. You can download it to your cell phone. So that's on the site right now. That's available. You can check that out. It's just going to really help you get the full breadth of all the data in here. And, you know, driving your car or basically when you're jogging or walking, you could listen to this data.
Dr. Berg, I hear music. Could it really be 12 o'clock?
It's 12 o'clock. And hey, guys, I really appreciate your questions, your wonderful comments. I'm glad that it's helping you. Stay tuned. Next week will be the same time, same place.
Same bat time.
Yeah. And definitely join the Facebook group if you want more data, okay? All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Hey, guys, I just want to let you know I have my new keto course just came out. It's a mini course. It covers all the basics and how to do it correctly. You can get through this in probably 20 minutes at the very most. So if you're interested, click the link below and get signed up now.